Good morning, church. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessings here and pour out the Holy Spirit upon each of us that will draw ever closer to thee. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you came here for a sermon, you're going to be disappointed. If you came for a Bible study, you're going to like it. I'm not a preacher. So I want you to open, first off, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Now I sing to my beloved, well-beloved, a song, my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with choicest vines and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And it looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth sour grapes, wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and the men of Judea, judge, I pray you, twixt me and my vineyard. What should have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go, for I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, and shall be pruned and digged, nor shall come up briars and thorns. I also command the clouds that there rain no more upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his present plant. So this is really a parable about the Jewish nation. It says the Lord planted a vineyard. And the Lord, where did the Lord place the people in Palestine? And if you look at Palestine, at that particular time, Palestine was a crossroads of the world. The caravan going north and south went through Palestine. The caravans east and west went through Palestine. And so that's why the Lord planted the Jewish nation there, so they could be lights to the world. But what did the Jewish people do? Okay. Let's talk about the hedge. All right, here's the hedge that the Lord built around Jerusalem. First off, let's go back to Egypt. What hedge did the Lord put around the Jewish people in Egypt? He put a hedge around them in Egypt. What did he do? Blood on the doorpost. Wasn't that a hedge around the people of Israel? If the people put the blood on the doorpost, during the wilderness, wandering, what kind of hedge did the Lord give them? He had a cloud by day and a fire by night, protected the children of Israel. What kind of food did they have in the wilderness? Manna. That's another type of a hedge that the Lord built around them. And the water they got water out of a rock. You know, the Lord really tried to protect his people. All right, and let's do Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may be live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord has sworn unto your fathers. So the commandments were a form of a hedge. If we look at our church today, do we have a hedge around our church today? What's one of the hedges? The commandments of God is one of the hedges we have around our church today. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside on the way which I command you this day, and go after other gods which you have known. Here's the commandments. God said, the commandments are a hedge. We keep the commandments. All right, another command, a hedge for the Israelites, and also the same with us. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12 says, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord God that sanctify them. The Sabbath is a hedge around us today. Isn't the Sabbath around the Seventh-day Adventist Church? The Sabbath, one of the hedges we have, the Jewish nation had the same hedge. Ezekiel 20, verse 20, and how am I Sabbath? They shall be a sign between me and you, and you may know that I am the Lord your God. See, the Sabbath was a sign. And we take today the sign of the Lord's sign is the Sabbath. The mark of the beast is what? The apostate Sabbath. So the Sabbath is very important for us. Exodus 31. Verses 13, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. You may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify thee. So the Sabbath is a sign, part of the hedge that's built around the Jewish nation and built around us today. All right, Jeremiah chapter 12. Boy. Here I've got it. I forgot. Jeremiah chapter 12, starting with verse 19. I'm sorry, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. 19, 20, and 21. Now remember, Jeremiah was one of the prophets of the Lord during the time of Daniel and the destruction of Jerusalem. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see it an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord your God, that my fear may be not in them, saith the Lord God of hosts. Of old times I have broken my yoke and burst my brand, thou sayest I will not transgress. Israel says, I won't transgress. When upon every high and hill in order, every green and tree thou shalt play in the harlot. I mean, the Jewish nation had idols to other people. They didn't keep the commandments. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of the land, they have made goodly images. Israel took the fruit of the land to themselves. Instead of glorifying God, they glorified themselves and built images to the... In Acts, the book of Acts of the Apostles, written by Ellen G. White, this statement. But the people of Israel lost sight of their high privileges as God's representatives. They forgot God had failed to fulfill their holy mission. The blessing they received brought no blessing to the world. All their advantages they appropriated for their own glorification. They shut themselves away from the world in order to escape temptation. The restrictions that God had placed upon their association with idolaters as a means of preventing them from conforming to the practices of the heathen, they used to build up a wall of separation between themselves and all their nations. Israel was supposed to be a missionary nation, and what did they do? They kept the commandment, everything in with themselves. If you weren't a Jew, you were an Israelite or a Gentile, and they felt that God had no use for Gentiles. But these people, the Jewish nation, were supposed to be missionaries and tell the world about what the Lord has done. They didn't do that. What about today? What about our church today? We have the same mission today? What is that? Matthew 20:18-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." You know, we are given as a group of people a command to spread the gospel throughout the world. Are we doing it? Well, a lot of us are, a lot of people are, but what are we doing individually? Another statement from Acts of the Apostles, page 15. Of Israel, God declared, "I have planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How art thou turned into a degenerate plant, a strange vine unto me?" How did he turn into a degenerate plant? God planted good seed. Here's a statement from Christ's Object Lessons. "To his people, to this people were committed the oracles of God. They are heads about by the precepts of his law and the everlasting principle of truth, justice, and purity. Obedience to these principles would be their protection, for it would save them from destroying themselves in sinful practices. As a tower in a vineyard, God placed in the midst of the land his holy temple." So this, the people, you know, if you don't follow the Lord, the devil's going to get a foothold. Here's a statement from Christ's Object Lessons, page 296. It says, "The parable of the vineyard applies not alone to the Jewish nation. As a lesson for us, the church in this generation has been endowed by God with great privileges and blessings, and he expects corresponding returns. We have been redeemed by a costly ransom. Only by the greatness of this ransom can we conceive of its results. On this earth, the earth whose soil has been moistened by the tears and blood of the Son of God, have brought forth the precious fruits of paradise. In the lives of God's people, the truths of his word are revealed to his glory and excellence. Through his people, Christ has manifested his character and principles of his kingdom." That's our responsibility. The principles are to manifest in the individual Christian, in the family, in the church, in every institution established for God's service, are the symbols of what can be done for the world. There be types of the saving power of truth of the gospel, all agencies in the fulfillment of God's great purpose for the human race. So we have a responsibility. Another statement from Christ's Object Lessons. "The church is very precious in God's sight. He values it, not for its external advantages, but for the sincere piety which distinguishes it from the world. He estimates according to the growth of members of his knowledge of Christ, according to the process and spiritual experience. Christ hungers to receive from his vineyard the fruit of holiness and unselfishness. He looks for the principles of love and God's goodness. Not all the beauty of art can bear comparison with the beauty of the temper and character to reveal to those who are Christ's representatives. It's the atmosphere of grace that surrounds the soul of the believer. The Holy Spirit, working upon mind and heart, that takes the savor of life into life and enables God to bless the work." Now let's take... Let's look at Matthew 21. This parable is similar to the one from Isaiah chapter 5. Jesus gave this. It says, "Hear another parable. There were a certain householder who was planted a vineyard and hedged it around round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went to a far country. And when the time of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to his husband that he might receive the fruits of it. And the husband took the servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But the last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." When the husband saw the son, they said unto themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, lest seize his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. All right, now this is a vineyard. Who slew Christ? We're talking here about Jesus. What caused Jesus' death? What people caused Jesus' death? God's chosen people, Israel, caused his death. And the point here, another point, it says he built a tower in the vineyard. What's the tower? What tower did God build in the middle of the Jewish nation? His sanctuary. Sanctuary on there in the wilderness and sanctuary in Jerusalem. That's the tower God built, and people, and they even desecrated the tower. In Luke chapter 23, verses 18 through 23. And he cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and reach unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, and for cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake unto them. And they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "What evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore release him, let him go." And they were in instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them of the chief priests prevailed. He was the chief priest that wanted Jesus crucified. John chapter 19, verse 15. "For they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' Pilate said unto them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priest answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.'" They went completely around. They said, "We have no king but Caesar." And and Jesus was crucified, and the Jewish nation denied God as their Savior, as their leader. And 40 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed completely, and the Jewish nation has never been back together. 40 years later, they had Caesar for a ruler. Caesar put him to death. You have to remember these things. Oh, you know, let's take some other thing. What other kind of a hedge has the Lord built around the Seventh-day Adventist Church? We talked about the Sabbath. We talked about his commandments. What about Bible truth? Do we as a group of people have the Bible truth? If we don't have the Bible truth, how do you get Bible truth? Study to find the Bible truth. All right, and our stand on the sanctuary is another one of the hedges God has put around it. Our belief in the heavenly sanctuary with Jesus taking part today, that's one of the hedges around the Adventist church. Another one of the hedges around us we preach is Jesus' second coming. A lot of churches don't preach the second coming. We know the literary coming of Jesus. Another one is state of the dead. Our belief in the state of the dead, I think, is the most beautiful thing in the world. Other people don't have that. The belief in the state. We believe when a person dies, he goes to sleep and he wakes when Jesus comes back. So it's just a long sleep. Another point we have to remember, too, is the story of creation. How long was creation? Creation was 7 literal days. Not long days, literal days. And a lot of churches are trying to get away from this belief. Not only other churches, some members of the Adventist church are trying to get away with this belief. We have to believe that earth was made in 7 literal days, not 7 24-hour days. And he said evening and morning were the first day, evening and morning were the second day, evening and morning were the third day. And that's a 24-hour period. It wasn't thousands of years. And another hedge the Lord has put around us, the three angels' messages is found in Revelation 14, verse 6 to 12. That's a hedge especially for the Adventist church. three angels' messages. And we should study them. Romans 12, verse 2 has this statement. Romans 12, verse 2. All right, Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove that which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, don't conform this world, conform to the world, new world. Romans 12, verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Whoever that is evil, cleave to that which is good. In John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but the spirits where they are God, because many false prophets are out in the world today. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So we have to prove the spirits. We can't believe everything that people say. All right, I'm just going to give you a few things to close this out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. And this is what it says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. You know, if we have a minister who gets up here and preaches a sermon, and you don't believe what he's talking about, get your Bible out afterwards and prove it. You know, I had that experience come to me when I was a new Adventist. I was teaching church school up in Union Springs. We had a professor up there in the academy by the name of Rife Snyder, Pastor Elder Rife Snyder. And that time we were studying the book of Daniel. And we go to Sabbath school class, and he'd preach the book of Daniel. Then I'd go home, and I'd study all afternoon and see if he was right. I wanted to prove what he was said. He made these statements. I had to prove them out. All afternoon, I studied the book of Daniel to prove his out. All right, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house we are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. We have to hold fast our confidence in Christ firm unto the end. Hold fast the confidence. I've got half a dozen statements. Revelation 3:11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hold fast. Hold fast. Don't let somebody take your crown. Hold fast. Our closing song is number 184. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and thank you for this Sabbath day. Ask the Lord to keep us safe till once more we meet. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.